Since the election of Donald Trump, the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center in Urbana has received multiple messages of support from the local community.
I would like to express our gratitude for the outpouring of support, solidarity, love, and concern that the mosque and its members have received in the past few weeks.
We'll hear more from Imam Usman Sawadogo and the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield. Its president joins us to discuss what future Muslims in the U.S. envision under a Trump presidency. And are you ready for Thanksgiving? Today we talk food with champagne restaurateur Armando Sandoval. And we're here from Chicago Tribune food writer and Chewing podcast host Louisa Chu.
I go shopping for Thanksgiving dinner Thanksgiving morning. Oh. The stores are empty. I get to sail through the aisles all by myself. If it's a longer time, I might have a drink while I'm there.
That's all coming up this hour on the 21st. Stay tuned. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Happy Thanksgiving. When many people think of the holiday, they think of typical cliches like piling a plate full up of turkey, spoonfuls of stuffing and cranberries. You hear that every year, but those aren't the only options for Thanksgiving dinner. And to talk about that now, we're joined by Chicago Tribune food critic Louisa Chu and May's Mexican Grill owner Armando Sandoval. His restaurant is in Champaign. They're here to share their stories about how to make Thanksgiving dinner different, how they grew up celebrating the holiday. And we'd love to hear from those of you listening as well. If you have a special Thanksgiving food story or a unique family tradition you want to share, we're going to be talking about this for a little bit. You can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21st Show. Our handle is 21stshow. Louisa, Armando, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining me on the 21st.
Happy Thanksgiving, Nyla.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys. Armando, let's start with you. You were born in Mexico City. When did you move to the U.S.?
I moved when I was 10 years old.
And did you know, did you know about Thanksgiving when you were a kid in Mexico?
Not at all, not at all. We celebrate Christmas and New Year's and Three Kings Day. That's our holiday season. So everything's around the end of December, beginning of January.
And so what was it like when you celebrated your first American Thanksgiving? How did you learn about it?
I learned through school, and I had to basically explain it to my mom as well. In the beginning, I mean, it was just more just learning about it. We just had a regular dinner. But as years have gone by, we started like getting to know the holiday and sort of like fuse it with our own food, if you can say that.
Okay, I'm going to get to food in a minute. But Louisa, I want to ask you, you grew up, I know, having big Thanksgiving dinners with your family at your uncle's restaurant. What was that like?
Yeah, it was so much fun, except for the times when customers, of course, would see like a lot of people in the restaurant and walk in and then want to order. And then being hardworking immigrant families, my grandfather would insist that we still cook them an order to go as well on the house. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was very inclusive. We really appreciated that.
What kind of restaurant was it, Louisa? And where was it?
It was a Chinese-American chop suey restaurant on the northwest side of Chicago, and served all the classic chop suey, chow mein, egg foo young. But for Thanksgiving dinner, it was a potluck, and we kind of sort of Chinesified some of the classic American ingredients because we always got turkey, of course, but then it was rubbed in black bean and garlic sauce and then roasted and then chopped up like you get those like chickens in Chinatown butchers.
Or like duck, right, so, like how duck gets chopped up. Is that what you guys used to do?
Exactly. That's exactly it, with like lots of bony pieces. So really delicious, but definitely not that carved turkey at the table.
Right. And I know sometimes you guys would bring people from outside the family to this Thanksgiving dinner. What kind of response did they, what kind of response did you get?
Well, some people were very suitably appreciative, and that was fantastic. However, I should say that I did have a couple of boyfriends that did not quite appreciate it, and actually complained about having like the really bony pieces of turkey to work through. And
oh, I'm sure that went down great with the family, Louisa.
Well, I shielded the family. Luckily, it was me who unfortunately absorbed a lot of that buffer. And I should have known. Those were red flags that were thrown, and I did not heed them.
Armando, what about you? How was it the first year your family made a turkey for Thanksgiving?
Well, we actually made it in a mole sauce. So we knew that turkey had to be involved. My mom would complain that her turkey was too dry, I guess because she didn't really know how to cook a turkey. But we made it in a nice mole sauce, of course, with rice, with tortillas. So that was our Thanksgiving dinner to begin with.
Can you give us, since we're talking food and recipes here, can you give us a little hint of what goes into your mom's mole sauce? Can you give us some trade secrets?
Well, she keeps those to herself. But, I mean, like in any mole sauce, in the region that of Guerrero that she's from, they're more, if you go to different regions of Mexico, the mole will change, you know. In some regions, it'll be spicier. In some regions, it'll be sweeter. So in the region that my mom grew up in, it was there's a lot of chocolate in the mole. So, of course, Ooh. You have the sweetness, the particular sweetness of the mole. Not as spicy as in other places, but, I mean, it still is dark and creamy, and it goes really, really well with the turkey.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I'm speaking with, that's Armando Sandoval. He's the owner of Maze Mexican Grill in Champaign. On the line with us from Chicago Tribune food critic Luisa Chu. She's also co-host of the podcast Chewing. And Luisa, you know, as we're talking about kind of traditional ways to do turkey, and I know people have kind of different sauces, like you were just talking about the black bean sauce. What are kind of other favorite sauces and spins you think people do? Because everyone feels like they have to have a turkey, but then I feel like people kind of want to put their own spin on it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I had worked a few times through turkey recipes and had actually done, like, instead of, say, a coq au vin, did a turkey au vin. And, you know, instead of a red sauce, I used a white wine, a Riesling. And so it was more sort of like a white wine cream sauce. So certainly if you don't have Armando's mom to make an amazing, you know, chocolate-based mole, you know, that can certainly help. And especially, too, you know, breaking down the bird keeps it from, you know, having those really dry breast pieces as well. And just a pan sauce. I mean, after you roast a turkey, one of the really super easy things to do is just to, you know, deglaze a pan with some either wine or just water or broth. You know, and just thicken it with a little bit of a flour or cream. And, you know, and that's amazing in and of itself, too.
Hmm.
Or not really need a sauce at all.
Hmm. Okay. So Luisa Chu's on the line with us. She's at the newsroom. She's at Tribune Tower. That's what you hear in the background there. Lots of people still working on this holiday. If you want to join us and share a story, our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21st Show, 21ST Show. Luisa, I want to go back to something, to your past boyfriends and how they reacted to... I feel like everyone has... And I wonder if you could, because I know you guys have talked about this on your podcast that you do with Monica Ng from WBEZ, but I feel like people have very emotional and strong connections to the type of food that they have to serve at Thanksgiving, and you can't really depart from that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, like what Armando was saying too, you know, you have to have the turkey. You can certainly play around that. But I think that having certain touchstones in food are really important because it is a very traditional meal after all. So while it's important to have certain ingredients, like, you know, we were saying the basic turkey and perhaps the controversial cranberry sauce, you can play with those things a little bit. So while not everybody is a huge fan of the, you know, sweet potato marshmallow casserole, you can have that same sort of classic ingredient base. But there's so many different recipes out there. And then, again, having played with it a little bit yourself through the years, you know, instead of using, for example, you know, the cranberry sauce out of a can, you can certainly use fresh cranberries now and just play with some of the ingredients and recipes too. But I do think it's really important. I mean, personally, I know it is for me to have those very basic, classic, iconic ingredients, but just add the personal flavors that I've really learn to love, and then you know, as the years go on.
Yeah, Armando, so Luisa's saying sort of the take that she does on a couple of things. We heard about your take on turkey. What other things do you, what kind of flavors do you also like to play with the recipes that you're going to be cooking or have cooked in the past for Thanksgiving?
Well, I think one in like Mexican families, especially, you can see that in Chicago and in Mexican neighborhoods. You'll see the line for the tortilla place, you know, go for blocks on Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving evening. So they'll line up and they'll buy the corn dough in order to make tamales. So. Like there's a lot of memories that I have where turkey was like a smaller part of our tradition, and they would make tamales for the whole day, or they would make pozole. So it's for my part of the family, it was a little bit different. We're trying to fuse both of our traditions together. For us, it was very new. And me coming in when I was 10 years old, I didn't grow up with it. So we were learning little by little. And I guess we were trying to do the things that we were used to, the traditional meals that we have, like around Christmas, around New Year's, or on a birthday, and try to incorporate that with the new tradition that we're learning from. So if you go to Mexican family for Thanksgiving, don't be surprised. You know, there's one of the main dishes would be tamales, or a main dish would be pozole. It's just, you know, it all works together, I guess.
What were you going to be making this year? Will there be tamales, and what kind?
I actually skipping the tamales. I came to visit New York City. I had an opportunity to come. Like I mentioned one time to you, having dinner, I have I'm a big fan of Anthony Bourdain.
Oh wow!
And
okay.
I actually got to see his show and got to meet him. So my family's pretty upset.
I was gonna say that you've left someone because
I'm in trouble.
Well, and Louisa, I want to ask both of you this, because both of you, do you think that this is a holiday that it's tough for chefs because you're always put in charge of the cooking, but then everybody wants you to cook a certain way? Like, Louisa, is that tough for you?
I think it depends on the chef and the families. I mean, I certainly know that you know, previous years, I've really tried to include everybody, and they can bring a certain, if we've done potlucks, where they can bring their own favorite dish. I definitely know of chef friends who are much more competitive, especially, for example, if you have another sibling who's a chef in the family. We had on our...
And everybody tries to out-chef each other for Thanksgiving.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean... But it's kind of funny. I mean, like, you know, I think like Armando was saying about having the masa or for certain dishes that you have to have. For me, I really like to make sure that I have two things right. One, which is the turkey, and actually the rice. If the rice isn't, I have to have plain white rice no matter what.
So it always has to be plain. So you have to have plain white rice.
Yeah, and because with all the really rich flavors, I feel like that's a perfect foil, you know, with a lot of like the neutral staple foods that are out there, whether it be corn or rice or breads, that those are the things that really kind of set off the really, you know, great roast turkey flavors or the roasted root vegetables, you know, plus it has a place for all the good juices to go, you know. So I like to make sure that I have those things right. If other people want to bring some extras, that's fine. But I like to make sure that when I'm in charge of the dinner, that everybody's going to have a good base already done. If there's going to be extra booze or desserts or the extra sides, that's great. That's great.
So if you're not in charge of the dinner, and if you're listening now and you're showing up to someone's house tomorrow, what is the best suggestion if you haven't been in touch with someone about what to bring? What is your best advice for them, Louisa?
If people are drinking, I would say that a assorted six-pack of craft beers, especially local, and that pair well with food is always good. Maybe something a little bit for your tummy. I think drinks are always really easy. Maybe bring turmeric drinks are really good right now. They're a nice alcohol-free option.
Did you say turmeric?
Flavors. Yeah.
So what would be a non-alcoholic turmeric drink you would suggest someone make or bring for Thanksgiving?
Now, actually, it's in season, and so you can juice it, maybe add a little bit of ginger to some water, a little honey for sweetness, and just a little bit of tartness with some lemon. And, you know, that's a nice alcohol-free option to either start or finish the meal with, and can help the digestion a little bit, maybe some teas. Otherwise, I would say if you really want to bring a food item and you don't know what other people are serving, stick with your strengths. I mean, if you do a dessert really well, then bake something, but do it in small portions. You know, don't necessarily have to bring like a whole dessert table or tray. Cheese is always great. Crackers are always terrific. I think it's always nice to sort of go with some of the all-inclusive vegan items when possible. The nuts and veggies and you know, like a nice oil is really terrific. A spice oil is really good. So those can always be eaten around while everything else is being.
Yeah, eaten. That's a good idea. We just have about a minute before break. Armando, two quick suggestions of food you should bring if you're a guest for someone, food or drink. What would you bring? Armando? Oh, looks like we are having a hard time getting a hold of Armando. Luisa, turmeric, it's a root, so can you just get turmeric in the grocery store? Just look for it?
A lot of the international markets have it available fresh. And actually, of all things, Trader Joe's just put out a brand new turmeric and, I think, ginger tea. So that's got a good base to start with. But it is in season fresh. Actually, if you get a chance to go to any farmers market still today, I'm not sure, you might be able to find it. But definitely around the Chicago area, it has been available.
Okay. We're going to get to some stories about past Thanksgivings and your favorite Thanksgiving traditions after the break. If you want to share your story, you can tweet to 21STShow. You can call 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. We'll continue this conversation with Luisa Chu and Armando Sandoval after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. Welcome back to our Thanksgiving edition of The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. My guests are Chicago Tribune food critic. She's also host of the Chewing podcast, Luisa Chu. She's on the line from Tribune Tower in Chicago. Armando Sandoval is with us as well. He's the owner of May's Mexican Grill in Champaign. They've been sharing their traditions of Thanksgiving food. You're welcome to share your stories as well. If you want to give us a call, the phone number is 1-800-222-9455. You can tweet to 21st Show. Armando, you're telling us before about how you had to explain Thanksgiving to your parents, immigrants, when you were a 10-year-old kid coming here from Mexico. How did your family take to celebrating a new holiday? Were they pretty excited about it? I imagine it's easy to convince someone to celebrate a holiday that's all about food, right?
Well, I think, yes, everything's surrounded on food. But I mean, it's as an immigrant family, of course, you know, we're very thankful of the opportunity that is provided by this country. So, I mean, having a holiday to be thankful for, where the main idea is to join families and be thankful. I mean, for us, it was just a really, really easy tradition and fun tradition to be part of. My whole family would get all, you know, together for that day, and it's just surrounded by food and surrounded by conversation, and of course, you know, learning how to be thankful in a new country. It was definitely, you know, a new experience.
Mm-hmm. Luisa, I wonder, as you were sharing about your Thanksgivings growing up at your uncle's restaurant on the north side of Chicago, what was it like for the first Thanksgiving dinner you had to cook yourself? How did that go?
It was like out of the classic Norman Rockwell, Martha Stewart magazine.
It was like a Hallmark movie? Okay.
Exactly. I had the whole roast turkey, which was carved. I had the stuffing, which was an exotic food for me. I did make every single iconic food, the sweet potatoes with marshmallows, the green bean casserole. I did get the cranberry out of the can. I wanted to have every single one of those classic Americana Thanksgiving foods that I kind of sort of had somewhat throughout the years, but I wanted them all on one table. And it was great. I mean, it was actually with some friends. I think it was in college, and it was Friendsgiving before Friendsgiving. even had a name. And so, my best friend from high school had just brought his new boyfriend home. And so it was like, we were all learning how to do many different things at the time. And it was fantastic.
Do you still make a lot of the recipes your family made when you were having those dinners at your uncle's restaurant, Louisa?
You know, we don't so much anymore, although every once in a while when I do, we've all kind of gone our own ways. And so I do still actually make the turkey, but now it's just mostly just like one or two turkey thighs. And I will certainly add a little bit of a marinade that includes more garlic and a little bit of black beans. So not as amped up on the flavor as my uncle did, but every time I get that sort of combination of flavors, I definitely think about him and how he completely changed that flavor profile for me forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys are the professionals. So I'm hoping you can share some of your cooking expertise and prep expertise with all of us who do not do this as much as you do. Armando, what's sort of the best advice you can give for everybody? Hopefully people have planned. Hopefully at this point, everybody's kind of planned out what they're making. But where should people be at right now? What's your best advice for them the day before cooking for lots of people?
You have to have a sort of a plan together. Just so you can approach it. I mean, the holidays are stressful enough as they are. So if you have a plan and a basic idea of what you're doing, and then just getting everybody involved. I mean, I'm always in charge of chopping things, so that's I have a knife ready, and I have a long list of things to go through for the meal. But you know your family, and you know how everyone can contribute. And I mean, I think the best and the best thing of the holiday is just getting everybody involved and everybody participating. And for us, we would cook, the whole family would cook together, and just sitting around and sharing stories. And the meal itself is part of all those memories that from past holidays. And just enjoying cooking together. My girlfriend's family, a lot of times that I spend with them, it's just talking throughout the day, chopping very slowly, talking about all the old experiences and new experiences that we have now. But that's the fun part of it. I mean, just cooking together is the basic, the better idea.
So actually, that's good advice, to really just enjoy the experience while you're preparing instead, because I think most people maybe get worried or stressed out and think, I have to do all of this stuff. And then that kind of can sometimes overtake things.
No, I agree. For me, it's just I enjoy cooking, and the majority of my family is involved with cooking. So contributing, even, you know, just even with the little kids, you know, cleaning something or washing a vegetable, I think it brings everybody together, and it gives you're forming memories. And I think that's what we've learned from Thanksgiving as a holiday, just to be thankful and just to enjoy the family.
All right, Louisa, some tips for you. You actually have a tradition. I feel like I have been in every grocery store in the Champaign-Urbana area in the past 4 days, running around getting different food items. You have a different way of doing things, Louisa.
Yeah. You know, I love cooking too, but having grown up in, again, a restaurant family where our childhood Thanksgiving dinners are usually a minimum of 100 people, used to have big family potlucks with dozens of cousins. Now, for the past few years, my tradition, as much as I love cooking, love friends and family, Thanksgiving cooking is me time. I like to go shopping day of. I will typically go to the grocery store and get a breakfast pizza, if they have them. Sometimes they have a Thanksgiving breakfast pizza, and just shop only for the ingredients I need for Thanksgiving dinner that day. And now our Thanksgiving dinners have gotten smaller with a lot of, you know, people having moved and different obligations to in-laws and stepfamilies. Now my Thanksgiving dinner is usually only like around 6, 8, maybe 10 people or so.
Just 10 people? Just 10 people, Louisa?
Well, yeah. But you know, when you're used to cooking for like dozens.
I was going
to
say, I'm cooking for 10 people and it's freaking me out. But I love that's just 10 people for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you keep it simple. I like to go shopping day of, and I think that maybe goes back to actually like having lived in Paris for some time, where you don't have a lot of room to put stuff. I mean, you're shopping for all that stuff. Where do you put all of it? I mean, I hear people have started cooking and freezing like weeks ahead. I don't have that kind of room. And so I get everything day of. The turkey, and like I said, typically now it's like just one or two turkey thighs. But my secret, and I share this now because I've already reserved it for my regular butcher guys, I get a lot of extra Thanksgiving turkey skin day of.
And what do you do? Okay, so you get extra skin from the butcher, and then what do you roast that over? Because you're getting pieces, right? And this is the key to why you're having the easy Thanksgiving turkey, because you're not defrosting or anything like that. What pieces are you getting, and where do you put the skin?
I am typically getting a lot of the turkey breast skin, because a lot of people want the boneless, skinless breast. And I will take that and I will lay that over in sheets over roasted root veg. So again, I love the classic Brussels sprouts. And then also, of course, still the classic onions and carrots and mushrooms and green beans, which I'll add a little bit later. Lay that out over the roasted root veg, salt and pepper it really well.
So just to be clear, you're putting the raw skin over the vegetables before you put it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, and then everything cooks under, the fat renders off, and on top, you get these like giant, almost chicharron-type skins of turkey, and because that's what people really are like pulling off in the kitchen when no one's looking, and so I have all this extra turkey skin on the one roasted root veg platter. I have another roasted root veg platter that is, you know, that is just actually going to be vegan, you know, and
so obviously no skin on that one, right? Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, but I try to keep it really easy. And I kind of feel like I go through the grocery store and see people like panicking at the very last minute. And I will go home and cook. And I like that's the cooking time, which is me time, because I don't get a chance to really cook big feasts anymore. And I will do that all by myself. People are welcome to come in and get something to drink and something to nibble. But I really like cooking that whole meal, which is not very difficult, which is pretty simple, all by myself that day, and then sit down and eat, and then nap, and then seconds and thirds and dessert and all that.
We haven't talked about desserts. We just have a few minutes left. Wits, can we talk about desserts for a minute? Louisa, favorite desserts?
Yeah. I typically like to do actually apple and cranberry tartan.
That is unusual. Do you just say where there's not going to be pumpkin pie?
You know, we've actually been in the middle of pie month at the Tribune, where I think I'm made of pie now.
So you're over the pie.
I'm not over it, but I really like to appreciate the fact that we're in the height of apple season right now, and the tartatan's super simple. And that should just go in the oven right after the turkey skin trays come out.
Armando, your favorite desserts. That's great. Thank you. Armando, your favorite desserts?
My favorite dessert is probably the tres leches cake. You know?
Oh, so tres leches. Is there any pumpkin infusion in the tres leches or no?
There is some. I mean, there is different versions.
How do you do that? So what's your pumpkin version? Yeah.
Well, the dessert part is all my family. I mean, like I said, I'm more in charge of the chopping and the eating part of it. The tres leches cake. I mean, it's very very simple. I just they add a little bit of pumpkin, but my family they try to stay like with traditional, just with the regular tres leches and
remind everybody what those three milks are, Armando, if people haven't.
It's evaporated milk, condensed milk, and regular milk. And it's the loaf of the bread is soaked in all of that goodness.
And it's delicious.
For hours. And when you cut it, it has to be mushy. And if it's not as mushy as, you just got to pour a little bit more milk in it. So it's delicious.
final tips for you guys, just final thoughts of advice for the holidays from you guys being the professionals here. Armando, it's interesting you were saying that we had a conversation yesterday about how a lot of people are worried about Thanksgiving being maybe like a divisive situation, if people are worried about politics around the dinner table. By the way, if you are worried about that, we'll tweet out that conversation we had yesterday. There's lots of good information on that. But it sounds like you're saying people can unite over food and everyone should just take this time to be thankful for being with each other. Would that be right, Armando?
I agree. I mean, I think that the best place to make everything right is a table. For me, I've had I know a lot of people that are with different views, and nothing sets you right than a really good dish. You know, where you're able just to talk about the food that you're there. But I mean, Thanksgiving is everything's about being thankful and being. Regardless of our different ideas, regardless of the problems that we may think we have, at the end of the day, we're all one community, and we have to move forward as such. And being thankful, I think it's a good start.
Thanks for that. I want to thank Armando Sandoval, owner of Champagne's Maze Mexican Grill. Thanks also to Luisa Chu, host of Chewing Podcast, food critic with the Tribune. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you.
As Armando was saying, all about one community moving together. Last Sunday, members of the Interfaith Alliance of Champaign County came together for an interfaith Thanksgiving service. One of the themes was that Jewish and Christian leaders felt they needed to now especially express their support for their Muslim neighbors post-election. Let's take a listen to a little bit from that service.
For our celebrations later this week, and we will share in the bounty of our tables. Let us today rejoice in the bounty of goodwill and blessing that we can glean from our relationships with one another.
My name is Alan Cook. I'm the rabbi at Sinai Temple in Champaign, and I'm also currently the chairperson of the Interfaith Alliance of Champaign County. It's always important for us to come together and realize that rather than worrying about otherness and worrying about differences, that we worry about coming together and recognizing that we are all part of the human race, that we all share an innate special quality given to us by God, however we may conceive of God.
On behalf of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center, I would like to express our gratitude for the outpouring of support, solidarity, love, and concern that the mosque and its members have received in the past few weeks. We have received flowers, visits, calls, email, and numerous random acts of kindness from clergy, places of worship, and common citizens.
Actually, the day after the election, I started getting Facebook messages and emails from students expressing a lot of concern, especially for our Muslim neighbors, also for, you know, our Mexican neighbors, immigrant neighbors, refugee neighbors. We chalked an entire side of our building. We talked it through and decided we just want to say we love you. And then we included all of the names of the groups that are being targeted with hate.
We're certainly seeing some tensions and some concerns as to whether open expressions of certain faiths are going to continue to be as welcome in our country. And I think it behooves all of us to come together and make sure that the freedom of religious expression that has always been the hallmark of America continues to be preserved.
Thanks to University of Illinois journalism graduate student Abrar Alhiti for putting that together for us. That was an Interfaith Alliance of Champaign County service this past Sunday in Urbana at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. When we come back, we're going to take a break. We're going to check in with some Central Illinois Islamic leaders about how members of their faith communities are faring right now. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. While we have heard reports of attacks and increase in hate crimes, especially against Muslim Americans in the wake of this presidential election, what we wanted to do today was check in with different Islamic leaders across central Illinois who also say that they're feeling lots of support from other people as well. So joining us in studio to talk about that is Imam Usman Sawadogo of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center. On the line from Springfield is Ali Nizamuddin. He's the president of the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield. He's also an associate professor of political science at the University of Illinois Springfield. Imam, Professor Nizamuddin, welcome back to the 21st, both of you. Thank you for being with us and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Nyla.
Imam, before the break, we were just hearing from members of the Interfaith Alliance of Champaign County. You took part in a Thanksgiving service this past Sunday in Urbana. And during it, I was there and you seemed very touched. You were talking about the messages that you've received from people who are outside of the immediate Muslim community. What kind of messages are you hearing from people?
It was very nice and kind. People were sending us emails, some of them sending us mails and even flowers. Some people come to the masjid and wanted to make sure that they talk to the people of the masjid. They met me, and it was very nice. And I have an example of a mail that I received. The person is saying, I wanted to send a note of support and love to your community. Having you in my neighborhood makes me feel safer because I believe diversity of culture makes us strong. So this is the type of messages we've been receiving, flowers, and people are calling. It was very nice. It's a feeling of reassurance. We know that the community is supportive. We know that the community accept us, they respect us, we respect them. But it was surprising.
Were you surprised? Have you ever had this outpouring of support before?
Yes,
you have.
Not this level. Even some people, even during our Friday service, this is our main weekly service, people came and there was a peaceful rally and with signs.
What did the sign say?
We love you. We support you. You're not alone. It was unbelievable.
Ali, you're the president of the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield. I know you were sharing earlier with some of our producers. You've had some similar experiences in Springfield. In fact, last Monday, early in the morning, you found a message written in chalk. What did that message say?
It said, "You are a most cherished part of our community." So somebody took the initiative to get into their car, drive to the masjid, and actually write this particular sign along with flowers. They drew flowers with chalk as people walked into the co-op of the mosque. And so this really warmed our hearts. It just allowed us to know that we are an indispensable part of our community and that we are not alone. And that was just a symbol of what people have done. They have left messages, many messages, a dozen messages, cards as well, along with delivering coffee as well as bread to the mosque. So it's been overpouring of support on the part of the community here.
One thing that I've talked to both of you about in the past is the relationships that you all have built over the past years with other members of the community, whether they're other faith communities, whether they're nonprofit groups. Ali, I wonder how much you think this is the result of all of these regular interactions that you've had.
Right.
Yeah, you think so?
Absolutely. The masjid has to be an open door. It has to be an inclusive environment full of compassion and tolerance and expressing the universal values that guide all of us. This doesn't happen accidentally. It is the byproduct of years of relationships that have been forged across faiths. So the humanitarian outreach that we do, the community work that we do, the food drives and water drives, having ecumenical interfaith dialogues. To give you one example, to the hypothetical, we have the sisters and the young people in the community have initiated the Children of Abraham Project, where our children go to the mosques and to the churches, and their children come to us. They got together to make care packages for the children's hospital for children. So all children got together, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, made care packages for the children at the local hospital here.
Mm-hmm. Imam, that service that you were at on Sunday, you were with partners from the Mennonite Church that's across the street from you, from Sinai Temple, which is also close by. You all have been working together this year for the first time, building a Habitat House together.
Yes.
So you've been, I wonder what it was like for you all to go through this election season and afterwards, knowing that throughout all of this, you've had sort of all of these regular contacts with other faith communities. Do you think that's made a difference for your community?
Not really, because the community is involved in community activities with the Champaign Urbana mm-hmm. community. So
yeah.
We know what people would know us, think about
mm-hmm.
us. So
mm-hmm.
We never thought that this will change anything.
No, you didn't. I know. I didn't think you'd maybe, but I wonder if you think that having this first-time relationship of building the Habitat House together with these other, if you feel like that's been an important part of maybe some of the support that you've gotten also.
Yeah, definitely is in additional of that. Every time we do, we add a new community activity, is a new we're getting new support from other people. The idea is that when people don't talk to you, they don't know you, they don't interact with you, they really take distance and they may not support you openly. But when they have the chance to know you better, and this is what community activities do. And so definitely working together in building the Interfaith Habitat help.
Now, we have obviously, we've heard reports across the country. We've heard reports in Champaign-Urbana and other, that we just actually got an email from the Urbana Police Department yesterday saying that police had filed preliminary charges of a hate crime and aggravated battery against a 58-year-old man who had pulled a Muslim student's scarf off a bus earlier this month. I should say he's already in jail on unrelated charges from another incident. Are you hearing of incidents like this? Do you think that this is, are people worried? Are you hearing people being worried about things happening? Are people talking about that?
Yeah, people are worried about things happening. And people are also They have a hope also that there will be support. For example, I heard stories about sisters from the community that were in a restaurant, and random people would come in, ask them, "Can we hug you? Or we want to show our support." And also, I heard a community member who was a victim of an incident. When someone grabbed his turban, he dressed in a traditional way. So that person grabbed his turban and start talking to him. Mm. And
so you are hearing a few things. Ellie, I wonder, what about Springfield? I wonder how many of things you're hearing about and how much the good is outweighing the bad at this point. What are you hearing?
Just anecdotal cases of a few sisters who've been harassed. One family was heckled. And another family was driving, and somebody got out of the car at a stoplight, took some gum and threw it at the windshield. So a few cases of that, but we have been extremely blessed to have a community that is so inclusive and so tolerant. And so our mosque has more than 32 different ethnic communities from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Africa, all of the Arab world. So we do live in a very heterogeneous environment. And there are certain parts of Springfield that are quite myopic and xenophobic, but we've been relatively blessed.
Well, and after the election, I know, Ali, different faith organizations met at a church in Springfield. You were part of that discussion. What were the main concerns that people, what were you sharing, and what message did you want people to know?
That we shouldn't be beholden to hate. And I know there was race baiting. This was a very acrimonious election. There was a lot of sentiments of bigotry and placing collective blame on an entire population. Islam comprises 1.57 billion people across the world in 57 different countries. So I know that President-elect Trump ran on a platform that called for universal ID cards and registration for Muslims and temporary ban from Muslim countries, having surveillance of Muslim neighborhoods, He peddled a lie that somehow Muslims celebrated 9/11 when he was confronted with the truth that that did not happen. He continued the lie. So being cautious of placing collective blame and collective guilt on an entire population, and what the terrorists do have nothing to do with us. And so we would never fathom having a universal ID cards for all white people for the actions of the KKK. So those are the types of messages that I try to convey, that we are part of an Abrahamic faith and we have a common ancestor. And irrespective of that, we should try to emphasize universal values of brotherhood and sisterhood across faiths.
And you also teach political science. I mentioned this at the University of Illinois in Springfield. What do you think are going to be the main political issues that Muslims are going to be looking at, American Muslims, in the next 4 years now?
American Muslims are concerned about everything else that other Americans are concerned about, trying to take care of a family, having a good education for kids, secure jobs. The pension is a source of concern for many Muslims in Springfield. What is going to happen to the
state
budget?
Pension situation, the state fiscal pension situation.
Exactly.
Right. Precisely. We just have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to ask both of you. Imam, let's start with you. You talked about receiving flowers and letters. What advice do you have for people? Maybe they want to reach out and show support, but they don't know what to do. What would you say?
Yeah, I would tell them to go to our website and send us an email. And the mosque, the masjid, is open. They can come to our main service is Friday, 12:05. This is the first service. The second service is 1:05. They can come. They don't have to send a message. They can come and
anyone
visit.
Anyone can come and visit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ali, what about you in terms of what do you think, what ways do you think are good ways to show support? And what are you guys working on in Springfield in terms of the Islamic society moving forward?
I would say the same thing. I would actually quote our Prophet Muhammad. A man came to him and asked, O Messenger of God, what should I do if I know the whole world is going to end? What should I do if the whole world is going to end? And he gave a singular answer. He said, if you have a seed in your hand and you can plant it, then plant it. So what you think is the final hour could be a bad hurricane, a bad tsunami, or some sort of a natural disaster, and you can't control that. The only thing you can control is a seed in your hand. So when you try to acquire knowledge about Islam and the truth about Islam, get to know Muslims, and try to do activities with Muslims, and actually reach out to people of other faiths, irrespective of your background, then you plant a seed. You plant a seed and you foster that relationships that endure.
I want to thank that you were just hearing Ali Nizamuddin. He's president of the Islamic Society of Greater Springfield. He's an associate professor of political science at the University of Illinois, Springfield. Ali, thank you for being with me.
Thank you so much,
Nala. Sure. I also want to thank Imam Usman Sawadogo of the Central Illinois Mosque and Islamic Center in Champaign. Gentlemen, both of you, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for being with me.
Take care.
You know, you can always follow our Twitter handle. We've actually been tweeting out during this conversation some more context if people had questions, and particularly we know about President-elect Trump and his stances that he's made and comments he's made. We've got lots of information if you follow our Twitter handle, 21STShow. That's an example of some of the analysis and background we tweet about what we're talking about when we're on the air. When we're not on the air, lots of Illinois news. So follow us at 21STShow. On our Facebook page, you can search for the 21st to like us, and you can comment on what we're working on or post questions and comments you want us to ask on air. Right now, we've got the conversation that we had yesterday about Thanksgiving. If you're worried about having difficult conversations with family members, and we'll have up all of the Thanksgiving tips and stories that Louisa Chu and Armando Sandoval shared with us as well. That does it for us today. You can always find past shows on the NPR One app if you search for the 21st. We're also available on iTunes and Android. All of those links, every other way to contact us. We love hearing feedback from you. If you want to leave us a voicemail, if you want to send us an email, if you want to follow us on social media, it's all at our website. That's the only address you need to remember, 21stshow.org. We're produced by Howla Delahi, Christine Herman, and Sean Newman. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft, with help today from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our executive editor. Thanks to Joe Yoon and Nick Vance from the University of Illinois' Social Media Analytics Lab for their research help. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm thankful to all of these people who help put together this show every day. I hope all of you have a safe and happy holiday weekend. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Oh, it's not a holiday weekend yet, but we'll be back on the air on Friday. But thanks for tuning in. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Happy Thanksgiving.